our representatives are coming in. I think we've got Dr. Rosalind Ransom as well from the public health side of things. So as they are all in now, let's hear from the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle.
Well, good afternoon now, everyone, and thank you for coming today and taking time out of your weekend to come along today. Today I have with me the Minister for Health and Social Care once again, and I'm pleased to welcome the Isle of Man's Medical Director, Dr. Rosalind Ransom, who we saw yesterday, who I will invite to speak later. Yesterday I informed you that we had a second case of COVID-19 confirmed on the island, and Minister Ashford will make a short statement giving you details on this. I would like to emphasise that we are doing everything we can to keep the public informed. We are updating information as soon as it is brought to our attention, and I continue to make a full commitment to the openness and transparency which we all need whilst we deal with this pandemic. Yesterday I visited our new COVID 111 centre and the mobile testing facility. The volume of work is immense. Nearly 800 calls to 111 were received between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. on that day. My heartfelt thanks to the dedication of the team who were mobilised so quickly. We ask that before calling 111, people check their symptoms by completing a short self-assessment on our website. There is a clear link to this on gov.im/coronavirus. This will ensure we speak to those who need our support the most first. I cannot emphasise enough the importance of following the procedures around self-isolation and self-distancing. It is only by taking these measures that we can try and slow the spread of the virus on the island. Dr. Ransom will talk more on the importance of these measures later. Yesterday, I stated that we have decided not to close schools immediately. I would like to emphasise that this is under daily review, and the Minister for Education, Sport and Culture will be leading this press conference tomorrow. Despite the struggle that we face in fighting COVID-19, as a proud Manxman, it has given me great heart to see how the community has pulled together. There has been an army of public servants making sure that we continue to deliver our services and ensuring that our healthcare professionals can do their job. And this hasn't just been a government response. Those in the third and private sectors have also responded. Some have offered delivery services to those that may be self-isolating or social distancing, and others by prioritising services for those more vulnerable. To help support food businesses, we will be allowing pubs and restaurants more flexibility and relaxed planning enforcement so that they can offer takeaway services and deliveries. This will both allow them to provide solutions for those self-isolating, as well as enabling them to remain active during this period. Those businesses that want to explore this should email the planning team at planning@gov.im, outlining how they intend to adapt. I'm in no doubt that our community spirit, pragmatism, and our determination will mean we can get through this, and we will as a nation together. Thank you. Now, David, would you like to give an update, please?
Thank you very much, Chief Minister. As was made clear at the press conference yesterday, a second case has been confirmed on Ireland. As people will appreciate, I'm limited in some of the details I can share due to patient confidentiality, but the second case is very similar to the first case. It was someone returning to the island from the United Kingdom. That person has been self-isolating since symptoms displayed. Their family has shown no symptoms, and a trace back has been undertaken, and any relevant persons who have had contact with that individual are in the process of being contacted. The thing I should emphasise before anyone uses a question up on it is there are no other confirmed cases at this time. It is simply at the moment the two cases. The other message I'd like to get out there today as well is with the changing situation in the UK and obviously the strains that their hospital services are now coming under, particularly in the northwest of England, we are also asking patients who might have received a hospital appointment letter to be seen in the UK, if they could contact the hospital and check that their appointment is still going ahead, just to actually make sure that it is with the changing situation in the UK. So they're the two announcements I have for you today. And can I invite now, please, Dr. Rosalind Ranson up to speak.
Thank you very much. So I think the message that we would like the public to hear is that it is all about the rate of spread from person to person. That is how the infection spreads. Without isolation, the spread of infection will become exponential in growth, and it will overwhelm our health and social care system. I cannot emphasise that enough. We all need to do everything we can to delay the spread of infection. The whole health and social care system is here to help, but you need to do what you can to help others in your community, but maintain the message, which is self-isolate, social distance, and wash your hands. So the lives of others depend on you. There is only so much that medicine can do. If you have COVID symptoms, we ask that you take paracetamol rather than ibuprofen. This is from a recent information that we have received from the UK about the harm that ibuprofen might cause if you have COVID symptoms and take it for your fever. So we ask that you take paracetamol. Please look after yourselves. We want you to access care, but we also want you to respect that the volume of calls that we're receiving are already putting a huge strain on the system. Please do look at the website, listen to the information that you're given. We will update you on a daily basis. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Ranson. Now, any questions?
Yes, good afternoon. Rob Pritchard, 3FM. We're all very much aware of the physical health implications of what coronavirus can do, and obviously the measures being taken to preserve people's physical health. I just wanted to direct this to either the Health Minister or the Medical Director. What consideration has been given to people's mental health at this time as well? Because there are going to be cases now and into the coming weeks, possibly even further than that. People self-isolating may start feeling cut off and very anxious. They'll be worried about their own well-being as well as that of family and friends. There are also the stresses around financial questions they might have. If I'm out of work, will I be able to afford to keep a roof over my head? Will I be able to afford to feed my children? So I'd just like to ask what mental health support is available for residents on Ireland around coronavirus.
Okay, thank you very much. David, do you want to come and take that?
Thank you, Chief Minister. In relation to mental health, it is just as important as physical health. That is something I've emphasised since the day I became Minister. There's been a lot of work going on in the department to bolster the mental health support. We have the online mental health ability for people to contact via website, the Cuth and the Quell that we've been using already. That remains available. But one of the things we're also doing is we're working with the third sector organisations such as Live at Home and Crossroads to be able to help bolster what we've got already out there in the community. Self-isolation rules as well are constantly under review, and as things move on there may have to be changes and adaptations to that. But I think the very important message here right now is that we are looking to get packages of support in place to help people who may be feeling depressed, be feeling lonely with the isolation, and ensuring that they can get the support by a mixture of things, both professional mental health support and support out in the community. And I'd like to emphasise again what I said at yesterday's press conference. I have been absolutely bowled over by the amount of organisations and individuals that have come forward offering to help. It really is showing our Ireland community at its best.
Yeah, sorry, 3FM again.
One more as well. With regards to the two confirmed cases, as obviously has been verified, they were both cases of an individual travelling back to the island from elsewhere. I just wondered, with regards to the passengers around that person on those services, have those passengers around those people who have tested positive been notified of the situation, and are they being tested?
Right, so I can confirm that both the cases have been people living on the island who've gone away and then come back. Yes, Public Health are now going through the flight data and are currently working on it. Is there anything more that can be added to that, David?
Yeah, I'm aware in the case of the in the instance of the first case, the trace back has now been done and all those relevant parties have been contacted. In relation to the second case, I know it was underway. I can't say 100% everyone has yet been contacted in relation to the second case, but I know from when I spoke to the department this morning, that was certainly well underway and pretty close to completion.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Right, who would like to go next? Tim?
Good afternoon. Just from the inquiries we've had in, from listeners, the two biggest subjects I'll ask about. The first is why, with the taxis now not picking up, there's concern about people getting on buses, with people who are arriving that are then going into self-isolation. And they're asking, why are we still allowing flights? And why not just freight on the ferries? A lockdown, in effect, isn't it?
Right. Well, we were the first nation to make people self-isolate coming back to an island where there was no cases. I think Malta was the only country ahead of us that brought in the isolation, but they had already had 10 cases of coronavirus before they implemented it. We did it before we had any cases. This is the best advice. We don't know, Tim, how long this is going to be for. So people might think, hopefully, 4 or 5 weeks, 12 weeks, the Prime Minister is saying. But if we say we're locking down the island, our young people can't get back, our family and friends who are off island trying to get back home can't get home, how long could it be for? Could it be 3 months? Could it be 6 months? So therefore, we have to be practical about this and say the fact that we have introduced the isolation period means that anyone coming on holiday here is not going to come on holiday here because they would have to go to a hotel and then be self-isolated for a period of time. So really it's only our own people coming back to the island and they are being made to self-isolate, and therefore we think that is the best way forward because we need to look after our people, but make sure that, of course, we've put measures in place to stop them from spreading. I don't know, David, if there's anything you want to add to that.
Yes, if I could, Chief.
Yes.
Obviously, again, I always put the caveat on everything. This situation changes day by day, and advice is constantly being looked at. But in relation to the lockdown suggestion, Tim, one of the important things is that things are looked at and done at the right time. Now, one of the things we have to look at is not just ourselves in isolation, but the countries around us. Now, you can't lock down permanently. It's got to be for a period, and at some point you have to reopen. Now, we know the UK, for instance, is saying they believe they might hit their peak in May, even June. If we were to lock down now, the risk is you may have to be making decisions about opening up when your neighbours are actually at peak infection. So that is a serious, so you've got to take that into account in the thinking. And I forgot what the first part of your question was, the taxis and buses.
Yeah, and going on to
You know, that is on advice, that is the health advice that we have received in relation to the taxis. Obviously, the advice is that taxis can still drop off at the ports. But in terms of the picking up from ports, that advice has changed yesterday.
And the second question is, and I'll obviously put this, I think we've got, if you could confirm, Dr. Alex Allenson tomorrow, did he say?
Yes, Dr. Allenson is heading the presentation tomorrow at this time on education and the proposals going forward.
Could I ask Dr. Ransom then about just the science behind what the World Health Organization have been saying more recently about the young can be affected by this? At first it was thought they weren't, and about social gatherings, they're saying don't have social gatherings. Must not. Thank you.
I think what the World Health Organization is saying does comply with what we're saying. We're saying that you need to social distance. Really, everybody needs to be socially distancing themselves, and that's what we've said. So that is consistent. The virus affects all ages. It's that the older age groups and those with, you know, other illnesses, chronic long-term conditions, they are more severely affected and they have higher mortality rates. But every age group is affected. So the social distancing, the self-isolation, it really does apply to everybody. But we are in an earlier stage in the Isle of Man. And so we have been ahead by, as the Minister has said, and the Chief Minister has said, we have put in significant measures prior to actually having our first case. So we are taking action, and I think we are considering on a day-by-day basis, hour-by-hour almost, as to what we need to do, because it is a balancing act between putting in absolute lockdown and, you know, acting responsibly, because all these measures have significant impacts on the population. And so I think the whole thing is that we are all working together, you and the press, have an incredibly important role to play in this, and to be giving the messages, you know, that communication between the government, the health and social care services, and the press, you play a really important role. So we ask you to assist us in this.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Ronson. Jewin, would you like to come forward from Energy?
Thank you, Chief Minister. Given the announcement, I know you've got the Treasury Minister coming tomorrow, but given the announcement...
He's coming on Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, it's education tomorrow.
Yeah, right, I'm a day ahead of myself. Given the announcement from Rishi Sunak last night about VAT, and the Isle of Man is part of the UK VAT system, will those measures apply to businesses in the Isle of Man?
Well, obviously, I don't want to steal what the Treasury Minister is going to say on Monday with a raft of packages, but we do. My clue in my answer is that we have a reciprocal VAT agreement with the United Kingdom. And it's not fair for me to answer questions that the Treasury Minister, well, I'm sure, will more than happily give you on Monday, but we have a reciprocal agreement on that.
OK, so there's nothing you can tell businesses right now over that reciprocal agreement as to whether those measures will apply to here yet?
Well, if we have a reciprocal agreement, it means we have to comply with agreements between ourselves and the United Kingdom. That's as close as I get. I just think there's a raft of packages that the Treasury Minister will be bringing with his team on Monday, and I think we need to keep it all at that time, so we can, you know, we don't want to spread it out over a number of days, but it'll be there straight away on Monday for all of you to ask the questions on those areas.
Okay. And the second question, there's still a lot of confusion about the schools. Parents are very unsure about sending their children in. What message would you give them today? Because there's been a lot of conflicting information online over this. Yesterday that Dr. Allison was here?
Yes.
Yesterday, he was saying that parents could take their children out of school, mm-hmm. But that you're not closing them. But also, he also said that if there is a closure, then they will remain open for children of key workers.
Yes.
So is that the current thinking?
Yeah, well, obviously everything fluid. Every day comes along, things can change rapidly. He's giving you a conference tomorrow exclusively to discuss education. Now, obviously, at some stage, schools will close. But as the UK have found out, you can't close all your schools, because if you do, then your healthcare workers, your chemists, your boiler repair people in checkouts selling you the food that you need, they will not be able to carry on with their job to help the public, and therefore the key workers need to be allowed to keep their young people at school if they wish to, and that has to be worked out. If you suddenly cut off the tap overnight, you cause massive chaos, and therefore we learn from how others have done it, and what's gone wrong and what is the best way going forward. And that's what the Education Minister will give you an update tomorrow, June.
Thank you.
Okay. Josh.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Josh Stokes, ITV. I want to revisit a question I asked earlier in the week, actually, to the Health Minister about schools. I appreciate the Education Minister's not here, but I asked about what would it take for schools to close. We've heard how significant it can be to young people with schools, so I want to really revisit that, because the answer you gave then was about there needs to be a confirmed case at least. We now have two confirmed cases, so really what now would it take more for school closures to be considered?
Dave, would you comment on that? From a medical point of view, then.
Yes, of course.
Well, my memory is not as good as it used to be, Josh, but I think what I actually said was it would take confirmed cases on the island and also evidence of human-to-human transmission in the community. At the moment, we don't have evidence of human-to-human transmission. But as the Chief Minister has just laid out, the important thing with schools, as with every decision we make, it has to be carefully thought through and planned out as to what the consequences of that are. The Chief Minister's just touched on the fact that if we are going to do a school closure, we need to ensure there is still facilities available for key workers, particularly in health, for them to be able to have their children appropriately looked after. Because if that's not in place, then that is when you start seeing serious problems, and we will end up with the knock-on effect of those key workers not being able to continue with their jobs. Some jurisdictions have managed to do it in a calm, measured and planned way. Others, quite frankly, have found it completely chaotic, where they're making different announcements and changes day after day after day that has made the situation more confusing for people. Here in the Isle of Man, we are doing things logically, step by step. At the moment, there is no human-to-human transmission that has been identified on Ireland. We have had our first two cases, and we are moving according to a plan. And that's, I think, the best answer I can give you at this time.
My second question is about communication, because the communication, the response we've had, you know, as the media, if the communication hasn't quite been there for whatever reason, whether it be us, whether it be the government communication. My question really is, given, obviously, we had the website updating, not updating overnight when the first case happened, we spoke about that yesterday, mm-hmm. And given, you know, we've heard about leaflets being given out at ports and airports about things and some not being seen to. I know the police were tweeting out yesterday that more needs to be done, given the fact that more people are not self-isolating when they should be. Obviously, the police have been open and said that that's not happening. I'm just wondering what you feel could be done to improve communication between either you, ourselves, or just generally to the public as a whole.
Right, well, first, we're doing this every day for the time it takes for this illness to go through the island and hopefully leave us. If anyone wants an interview, as long as we're not in meetings, because obviously I've been in meetings all morning, I've come here, I'll be going back to meetings. As long as we're available, we're more than happy to give one-to-one interviews to cover different areas. But the website, the government website, gives you the latest updates. Now, of course, yeah, the first start, it wasn't kept over the weekend. You know, this is fast and fluid. I keep on saying, I know people don't like that phrase, but things change so rapidly. But we are now committing to every day it is updated, and that's where people should be getting their information from. Obviously, if you think you've got the illness or you have concerns that you've got it, you've got the 111 line, which we've set up in record time. A real credit to our people who've managed to do that, because it is not just a call centre, it has medics there who are able to give advice from a medical point of view to people, and as a result a number of people have then been able to go through the testing centre to increase the number of people being tested. So and things are changing on a regular basis, and so it's just making sure that they keep up to date with the information, because it's just one of those things. The world has never experienced something like this before. Well, maybe the flu pandemic at the beginning of the 20th century, but we need to ensure that we take the right action at the right time, and it's through giving these presentations and updating our website on a regular basis, and any interviews that people want outside of here, if they have a burning issue, if we're available, we're more than happy to meet. Thank you very much. Who's next?
Sam Turner, I'm on newspapers. First of all, I don't know if it's perhaps more for the doctor or for Mr. Ashford. How many people have been tested at the grandstand, and when will we expect them to be able to get their results back?
Okay, Dave. I'll take that, Chief Minister. So yesterday, obviously, the mobile testing unit opened up. I must emphasise again, it's not for people just to turn up. They need to go through the 111 line, which is the only way of getting directed up there. I said the other day at press conference we were aiming for 30 tests a day. Yesterday, we managed to perform 76. There is a cut-off for sending them off to the laboratories of 2 p.m. So 29 of those tests went off island yesterday. The remainder will go off island today. The turnaround time at the moment, although I emphasise that with the UK being under pressure as well, it's going to potentially stretch out, is still 72 hours.
Can I just say, Sam, before you come in with your next one, how humbling it was. I went up to see our nurses up there. Our student nurses are doing their degree course, working flat out. The positivity and the feedback I've had from people who've been through that experience, just praising it to the hilt. They couldn't thank everyone enough for how it was handled, and the hard work of the staff there was exceptionally good. Also, to put it into context, the number that the minister has just given you, the United Kingdom are saying they're doing 25,000 a day. Putting that into context with the size of population, that would be 6 on the Isle of Man. So to be doing over 70, I think our health service is doing phenomenally well in getting through the cases.
And the second one is sort of builds on what Josh brought up. It's the police tweet yesterday saying we're starting to see a growing number of reports of people refusing to self-isolate or breaking this. And they said this is putting lives at risk. What can actually be done to ensure people are doing this? And does the island need to make an example, perhaps, out of somebody in this case?
Well, obviously, someone has been arrested. We're constantly reviewing this. I mean, part of my morning meeting was on this very topic. And I hope that in the early next week, we'll be able to give you an update on how we can go forward with this to improve the situation. But I call on everyone to be sensible. If you do not self-isolate, keep your social distance from people when you're out and about, wash your hands, you could end up giving it to a loved one or one of your family members who are maybe autoimmune, have cancer, are over 70 or are pregnant. So be responsible. Don't think about yourself. Think about, if I'm not responsible, what could I be doing to other people on our island? Paul.
Paul Moulton. Oh dear, that's not so good, is it? Paul Moulton. I'm going to split mine with me and Mark O'Connor. And this is really going to you, Ms. Ashford, I think. Overall, it's the hairs running. I seem to be the one that's dealing with, and I know other organisations are getting millions of people, not millions, hundreds of people, contacting them with questions. And obviously, we have got limited times with you. So I feel my job's coming to get rid of the hairs that are running, and you can clarify, if you don't mind. So I think this is about Nobles Hospital, wards 1 and 2. Explain exactly what's going on, because I'm hearing things. I'm hearing there's more people in isolation this morning, possibly another 8. This, again, I'd want you to shut it down or to confirm whatever, because we have to deal with this, because we're coming to you in a very limited period now to talk to you on these things. So is anything happening up at ward 1 and 2 unusual? Are there any more people in isolation, I suppose, is roughly where I'm going on this one.
Yeah. Before David goes, I think we've said we're happy to do interviews. We need to get messaging over to the public in these presentations to the press. We're happy to answer a number of questions, but it's about the messaging, getting the messages out to people. If you need to be able to ask further questions and do interviews, we're more than happy to do that.
Think about that, though. That means taking up your time. Whereas one organisation does an interview with you, then you move to another one. Therefore, your time's going to be quadrupled.
You might have your question later on in the day. We're trying to be as flexible as possible. Sure. Okay, David, would you like to answer?
Yes, I'd like to invite Rosanna just to talk about the ward 1 and 2 situation, and then I'll move on to the bit around isolation.
Thank you.
Thank you. We only have 2 confirmed cases on the island.
Confirmed?
Yes.
That's so my point, I'm guessing.
That is. So a confirmed case is somebody who has been tested and the result has come back as COVID positive. That is a confirmed case. So we have many people who have been tested who fit the criteria for testing, which is new continuous cough and or a high fever. The high fever is, at the moment, the threshold is 37.8 and above. But obviously we have a lot of people in the community who aren't able to take their temperature, etc. So if they have a high fever, that at the moment is standing as our criteria. In terms of Nobles Hospital, we have, as I think I mentioned yesterday, done a lot of preparation, and we are reconfiguring the wards and moving things around so that we are able to cope with what we anticipate is going to be a huge demand, hence my message. In terms of wards 1 and 2, they are going to initially be our COVID positive wards. So people who are COVID positive will be grouped together as the numbers increase in what we're calling our cohort wards, where we will be nursing and looking after people who are COVID positive so that they're not put in the wards with other people. So
there's only two in there at the minute then, is that what you're saying? There's only two in that ward because they're the two positives?
No, the COVID positive, the two cases on the Isle of Man that are positive are people that are in the community. These people are well. They have mild symptoms. They are not in hospital. And I think information was given. I understand that it is, you know, we're living and breathing this every day, and it is difficult for the public to understand, and we are more than happy to meet and talk, you know, explain and give more information. But the two confirmed cases are people with mild symptoms. They are in the community, and they have never been into hospital or admitted to hospital. They are self-isolating, and they have been complying with the information they were given, and that is why it is so important to self-isolate. So when you arrive and you're asked to self-isolate, you must comply with that instruction. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosalind. If I can just come in there as well and add on to that. I think this is, again, one of the misunderstandings still out there with COVID-19. The evidence around the world at the moment is that 94% of cases are mild. Now, what that means is that doesn't mean people need to be in hospital. It doesn't mean they need serious medical treatment. They simply self-isolate until the conditions pass. And that's exactly the same with the two confirmed cases we've had on Ireland. In relation, and I think we need to get the distinction, Paul, between someone who's being tested and someone who's got it. And I think that's absolutely clear. So we may well have people in isolation up at Nobles who are waiting their test results back.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they've got COVID-19.
There's 8, is there?
Not as far. I don't think it's 8. I think it's less than that from the number I had the other day. But the simple fact is that does not mean they've got it. They are showing the appropriate symptoms, so they have been kept isolated because they require hospital treatment. Anyone who's showing it mildly will be isolated at home. So the important thing to focus on is the test results coming back, not speculation and rumour about the number of tests. I pointed out that up at the testing centre yesterday, we did 76 tests. Mm. That doesn't mean it's 76 people with COVID-19.
And thank you for your apology, by the way. You gave me an apology.
I did indeed. I know you spend your time very wisely, Paul.
1:30 in the morning, I was. Mark is now going to ask my second question. Is that all right?
Okay, Mark. Good afternoon. Yeah. I just want to. It's been already been alluded to by the other members of the press here today about communication. It's a really key thing, and many people on the Isle of Man are feeling like you said earlier about conflicting messages. Well, there are already conflicting messages. To give one example, it was announced yesterday about the taxis at the airport, and there'll be a shuttle minibus running. But one thing is that a compulsory shuttle bus, or could somebody get off the plane and still go onto a public transport bus and go anywhere? And there's lots of other different things that have been going on about communication. I just want to ask you, do you really think that, respectfully, that you have done enough for communication on the Isle of Man?
Well, I've said time and time again, this is fast moving. Things are changing like you would not believe. And we are doing our utmost to update our websites, to give advice. So I can be giving an update to you now, and something major could be happening unbeknown to me, and then we need to go away and make a decision, make the changes, and then prepare for the next press release, put things on the website. We're living in unprecedented times, and I think people just have to accept that at this moment in time, all countries are doing their best. We're doing this. It's lasting much longer than, say, the Prime Minister will give people. He'll give people one question, and that's then he's out the door, and you don't see him then. You get the interviews with other people in our departments to give updates. We're more than happy if you feel that maybe some at DOI needs to give you an answer on a topic, pick up the phone and someone will give you an update. But this is moving like you would never imagine the changes that are having to be made on our island and worldwide. And I don't think people, any reasonable person can expect everything to be perfect from day one every day. It's totally unprecedented. As I said before, the 1936 Emergency Powers Act has only been used once other than now, and that was for World War II. This is how serious the situation is, and I think it's totally unreasonable for anyone to expect it to be perfect all the time. There's going to be moving circumstances, and we will do our utmost to update every day.
But just on that, though, could it be said that the information should be clear at the time it goes out with everything available? Like on the point about the minibus there, if I can ask, I mean, can people go onto a public bus once they land on a plane, or are they forced to go on a shuttle bus?
Right, David, do you want to give advice on that?
In relation to people arriving at ports, they should use either private transport, in other words, they've already got a car at the port to transport themselves, a member of their family is collecting them, their household, that is, or if not, they should use the shuttle bus. They should not be going out and wandering around to get on public transport. That is a breach of the self-isolation.
Thank you.
Right. Anyone to ask a question? We have other newspapers. Okay. Okay, yes. Sorry, I missed that. Well, thank you all very much for coming. Dr. Allenson will be with you tomorrow to give you an update on the latest thinking regarding schools. And we'll see. Well, I might see you tomorrow too. Okay, thank you.
And with that, we'll hand back up to Broadcasting House.